up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke Podcast.
Hey.
How are you? What's up? Fine, thank you. Let me stop. Ooh, how y'all feeling?
Ooh, I'm feeling.
I'm feeling it.
Hey, I'm feeling it,
y'all. When I tell y'all that stress has been running rampant up in my spirit, trying to get the best.
Trying.
But I'm keeping my head above water as best I can. I sunk down a little bit, you know, for a little bit, but I'm right back at the top. My head is above water, so I'm good, you know, working on my own mental and spiritual, just getting myself back to me all the time, yes. Every day, all day. You know, I bought a new, me and Mel, we bought a new bed and stuff. Yeah. Got a king size bed.
Y'all fancy.
Yes, got this beautiful ass bed that I don't ever want to leave. Bought a new TV, bought a new, some new stuff, you know, redecorating, removing things around and just getting life back and on track, you know, all new energy.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm just like in this headspace to where like I'm making it through work, you know, doing what I need to do in order to get the job done. But at the same time, it's like, you know, doing things for me so I can get back in tune with myself and figure out what makes me happy, what's going to help eliminate the most of this stress, you know, and just have fun with life. You know what I mean? Because life is too short to just be stressed out about some bullshit that is temporary. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's where I'm at.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Just because I've been really just trying to focus on being a better mom with Yara, which she makes it super easy right now. Sis just want her snacks, and as long as mommy provides that and keep that booty clean, then she's a good child. But now I'm just trying to work on like perfecting my craft as a teacher, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just feels like I'm hitting my head up against a wall. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm making the impact that I want to, but then when I'm having those conversations with my students, I can tell they've changed a lot over the school year, but it's just still like emotionally exhausting. And so just trying to navigate that and making sure I'm having my self-care time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard out here.
Indeed it is.
Adulting is so not fun. Like, it's the really only plus about adulting is not like when people are in your business, you have the right to say like, nigga, you ain't paying my bills. Like, you know, that's like the only plus about adulting. Doing what you want to do, but all this extra is just blah.
Responsibilities and jobs and bills and bullshit. Ugh.
I want a sugar daddy so bad. This isn't the life that I wanted for myself. This is not what I envisioned.
Not at all.
This is not the American dream you promised.
Ain't that it at all. But you're right. We got to do what we got to do in order to make sure that our mental and our spirit is good and that we keep going. That's why we got to keep supporting each other and encouraging each other.
And now that part is real. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about you, bro?
Ooh. Oh, wow. Man, as y'all know, like, we are coming to the end of Black History Month. And, you know, I just had another, I would say, successful event tonight. And I'm just truly blessed to see learning take place when it comes to, you know, Black students and anything that's dealing with Black people. I really enjoy watching us unlearn things that are, you know, toxic to our development and really just taking in all the information that's going to help us move forward. With full power, full grace, and full, you know, really focus in the direction of our purpose. So, I mean, I'm feeling good. I am getting over, y'all, like being under the weather, which was crazy because I had a big event last Thursday and I just got sick 2 days before. And I was just like, why is this happening? And I'm just like, okay, the universe is testing me here. And then it's trying to, you know, see how tough I really am, right? So I'm just like, okay, let me go ahead and push through because I know I have to at this point because my name is attached to this event and I want it to be good. And I also want people to have a good experience, right? Mm-hmm. So I just dealing with that, pushing through that and coming through to this week and really just finishing off a really great program that really taught students the power of not only the Black mind, but then Black history within the UW system. And so thinking about colleges and universities and Black people positions helping to advance programs and services for Black students. And so that this was a really refreshing and empowering event tonight to witness this type of learning take place. And so I'm feeling good for the most part, y'all. Like this week, I feel like it's going to be really, really quick. It's going to go by really fast, but yes. I'm feeling good about it. My month is over with. I have more time to focus on other things. So I'm super excited about that. Going to really refocus and, you know, hone in and really get what I need to get done. That's the most important. That's mission critical, top priority. Every day I wake, focusing on the things that I need to get done. And that's period. The done. That's just what I'm going to be. That's what I'm about to be for the next couple of months. Like, that's exactly what it is. I mean, that's what it is, how it's going to be. And so I'm going to do that to the best of my ability and see what you know, what manifests as a result of my direct you know, actions toward that. So I'm gonna really focus and hone in and really cultivate and really make sure that I'm connecting what needs to be connected, making sure that I cross that what needs to be crossed and carry what I need to carry. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm gonna do what I have to do and I'm gonna make sure that I get to where I need to be. So I'm super excited about that. Things are opening up. Vision is very clear. Vision is very succinct and focused. So I'm feeling good for the most part, y'all. I'm feeling very, very good. And I'm excited to see what the next couple of months have to offer. Super excited for Cancun. Especially, I'm super. I can't even explain to y'all. Y'all had dreams about it already, to be honest. Really, I had dreams about it. I'm talking about it's about to be fun. And then right before Cancun, I'm going on a cruise with my grandmother. So it's going to be like, you know, a pregame, right? Like a pregame to the Cancun. Like, all of this is about to be lit.
Cruise, your grandma about to have you relax. That's your relax.
Listen, it's about to actually be.
You don't turn up as much with grandma. You know, that's like you said, the pre.
My grandma, she definitely, you know, she's not like.
Your grandma be making it pop for our body.
So she definitely know how to gig it, kick it. That's why I'm super excited to be going on this trip with her, especially because we're about to be in Jamaica, and so I already know. So I already know we're about to have a good time, and so this is quality time. I'm super excited, but it's gonna be fun nonetheless because she is fun. She is a good time. It's my grandma. I can't wait to see her again. We've been talking about it and planning it. So that's going to happen. That's on the horizon. I'm super excited for that. Y'all, this will be my first cruise. So I've never done a cruise before. And so I am excited about that. My grandmother's done several cruises and been out the country and all of that. But I haven't. Cruise, so I want to get a chance.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm super excited, y'all. I'm just super excited. I'm liking all of these moves I'm making because I get to see y'all in July. I'm super, super excited to connect with y'all again and see y'all again. I'm not gonna want it to end. Like, oh my God, I'm not gonna want it to end, but I'm super excited that we get a chance to connect and we are gonna have nothing but a blast, nothing but fun. Fun for everybody. So excited, and I'm here for all of it, all of it, all of it.
I'm telling y'all, it's about to be like Thought Central.
Who you dealing? Who you telling?
Because I already got my clothes ready. They are already hanging up in the closet. I'm ready. It's about to be out. Bailey about to be out. Shelly is about to be out here.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Ooh, wee, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I can't even explain it.
Man, I tell you, we need this. Like, we really do need this.
My whole spirit needs it. So,
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about this episode is just like stuff that us as Black people we need. Stuff we need that makes us feel good, that make us happy. You know what I mean? That just make us like give us life and positive energy and that we're just beautiful. You know, like for me, like the blackest thing or the main thing like that really feeds into my whole joy as a Black man is food. It's the food. Like it's the macaroni and cheese, you know, it's the right kind. The right kind.
The right kind. The black macaroni and cheese.
Let me just tell you, I make a bomb ass macaroni and cheese.
You do? I remember you telling me that.
And so well that, you know, I was some badass Black women. And one of them told me the other day, like, Jones, your mac and cheese, girl. And I said, Miss Bell, for real? That's how you feel about my mac and cheese? She said, girl, I want to just spill the beans out on how your mac and cheese is with your mac and cheese. I said, you wanted to humble me? I wanted to humble you. Knew my mac and cheese was that good, but I owe it to Richard's auntie. She taught me the trick, y'all. She taught me the good trick that I wasn't learning from Patti LaBelle. So this is my good. I'm gonna bless y'all.
Patti, listen.
Patti ain't got nothing on this mac and cheese.
Ooh, I got my pen. I got my pen ready.
Okay.
I'm ready to take notes. I'm ready to take notes.
Ain't that it?
Tell me.
Right now, y'all want to know right now?
I mean if you're trying to divulge. Right.
I just
you can't be giving everybody else secrets.
Well, look, you can just share after. Right. I want to know. I got a taste for some good mac and cheese.
I got it. But you know, I'm a greens girl. Like greens. With some good neck bones in there or some turkey in there, like,
some smoked neck bone.
So good that you really don't have to use hot sauce, but you just add a little drizzle.
Just to give that little kick.
Yep, that little kick.
I'm going to tell y'all, I like just recently learned how to make greens. Like I had never made greens before like last year. Mm-hmm. And I just recently learned how to do it. And I finally, like the first time I made them with some smoked ham hocks because I'm a country boy. I love some fucking ham hocks.
Come on, ham hocks.
I don't know why I said neck bones. That's not what I meant, but for sure.
I like both ham hocks and neck bones. Yeah, smoke.
Okay.
People do smoke in the greens.
Yes, yes. You could do the ham hocks, whatever your preference.
Okay.
Because the first time I made them with smoked ham hocks. And then after that, because I started doing that little thing that I was telling y'all, that detox, where I couldn't eat shit, but like literally plants. Right. So I made greens and I like looked on YouTube for a recipe that was greens without meat. And so I made this woman's green recipe, and ever since I made that, like, I fell in love with making greens without no meat in it. So now I have, like, added my own little touch and little twist to it, and so now I make these bomb-ass greens, and they don't need no meat. They don't need just a little bit of fat. Like, I add, like, olive oil in it or whatever. I add my little array of spices. I cut up some jalapenos in there and put it in there.
Because that's where it's at. You can season them well. Like, you really can't fuck up greens. Like,
you can't.
you just can't. Well, you shouldn't fuck them
you
up.
Shouldn't. You shouldn't be. Because, please, I'm telling you, I've tasted people's greens and they didn't have no taste.
None. Right. None. No. It's taste. Like, what are you doing? Like,
what did you do, Sheila? Like, I don't
know. Like, come on, Karen.
No shade to the good Sheilas out there that know how
to do. Right. I'm telling you. Like, but I am. My daddy used to eat greens all the time. So I
love them.
Greens and cornbread. Mm.
Oh, and my cornbread has got to be sweet. I cannot do. And maybe it's like my family thing. My family always made cornbread real sweet. But like, I've tasted people's cornbread where it's just like, damn, ain't no sugar in the cornbread. I probably don't need the sugar in the cornbread, but it just, if I'm going to have cornbread, I want it to be sweet.
Right. Yeah,
that's just me.
No, I'm here for it too, because like, if it ain't sweet, then I at least need some honey that I can drizzle all up on it
and right
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, it need to really,
but I'm not even see, don't fuck with me. I need it to be sweet. Don't make me have to
Do y'all like cabbage?
I love cabbage.
Come on now. At all the times you done made fucking cabbage, and we done fucked
up. Look. I like making my cabbage, though. Like, I like making my cabbage plain by itself. Yes, y'all. And I think recently to mix it with collard greens. Like, that combination together. Really? Cabbage and collard greens with some red bell pepper, onion, and some spices. Lord have mercy. When I tell y'all I made that, and when I tell you these kids tow it up, yeah. And I'm talking about the juices and all was going to the pan, and it was with a nice size pan. I was just like, okay, this is something here. Combining cabbage and the collard greens together, like, you get the best of both worlds, and you know, season them up. Like, and I use an array of seasonings, y'all, not like make it over salty or anything like that, because I'm not trying to salt it over, but I definitely use some very specific combination of seasonings to really give it, you know, pizzazz and life and oomph, and like really put the black excellence within that damn dish to make it to where people, you know, they still talk about it. They talk about how good it is. Talk about when the next time you're going to make it. Talk about, can I get that recipe? Like, who taught you how to make the greens? All that type of stuff. I'm like, listen, y'all, I know it's good.
But I'm not giving you none of the motherfucking deals. You cannot know.
You know, I mean...
But last week they had cabbage for lunch, and it actually for a school cabbage. Them niggas wasn't serving us cabbage when I was a kid. I don't
remember
cabbage being on the menu
at all.
Really looks good. I was that cabbage hitting on? The white girl was fucking it up, so I wanted to ask, you know, do a census. Who was filling a little survey on who was filling the cabbage. They was like, Miss Jones, this cabbage ain't my mama's cabbage. Ain't no sausage up in there. Ain't no peppers. Ain't no onions. Ain't no I said, it looked like it had something going on. They was like, it ain't got nothing going on. The cabbage just gone to waste, child.
I ain't had no cabbage with no sausage in it in a little while.
I haven't had cabbage in a minute, like. But ever since I've been watching like Dr. CB videos, videos, I feel like, dang, I need to make that transition away from meat.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, love
chicken.
Chicken is a beautiful thing, you know, now.
After watching the videos, what I love about him and what it seems like he has taught his children is to not judge people who are still on this meat journey. You know, it's about like unifying each other and just making small steps towards the goal, you know? So even though I still enjoy my chicken, I didn't feel bad about enjoying my chicken.
Right.
Because of him. Like, but it does make me realize, like, God, I need to start migrating away from at least incorporating more like meatless meals, dishes. You know?
Yeah. That's real talk. Cause like, I was watching an episode, well, I don't know, it was a podcast that and they was interviewing Don Richard from Danity Kane, And she was talking about how she went vegan. Her and her whole family went vegan for her father because he ended up, you know, with cancer. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up, you know, adopting a vegan lifestyle so that he could, you know, help reduce the cancer or whatever. And so she's been vegan like the whole time. And so her skin is super smooth and clear. And I don't know if y'all remember what Don.
Her skin was bad because you know you when they were on TV, you know shit, makeup don't cover every damn thing. No. You would still under the makeup, you would see bumps and shit.
Right, right. My cheeks and stuff. And so, like she been doing her vegan thing, and she was telling me like how, or she was telling me she was telling everybody. I look, I've been following Don so long, I feel like she my friend. She my friend in my mind. Real talk. But like she was saying how like it's really helped her stay in shape and how it gives her so much more energy. She was talking about how like they do like vegan fried chicken or whatever and it tastes like real chicken and shit. And then she was like saying how she's surprised how like New Orleans hasn't really adopted like a vegan menu, you know what I mean, or a vegan type of lifestyle there, because like LA, you know where she live in LA, is like a big deal, like you can go anywhere and get vegan or whatever, but like there it's not really that big. And she's like, if we could incorporate our style or whatever into like the vegan lifestyle or whatever, can you imagine like the flavors that we could bring to it or whatever? And it just got me thinking, like, out of all of the vegan foods that I done had so far, you know what I'm saying, like, why haven't I tried to like really just dive deep into like veganism and figure out how I can start making stuff taste like me, you know what I mean, like I would like, something I would be into. And so I think I'm gonna try to do that too. So friend, if you do it, I'll do it with you,
because you know it's all about like making sure you flavor, you know, what's right, it's gonna be good even if it's vegetable. You know, and so I think once you get the seasoning down, then you're good to go. But I'm with you. I think I'm gonna try to start it for March. Right.
Look, just, I'll do it with you. I'll do it with you. Okay. So
this week I'm
gonna do it. When y'all gonna do it?
I'm gonna start in March for sure.
March?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it in March. I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
Let me know what y'all menu is gonna be given.
Well, and you know, you the cooking ass bitch for real.
I know. So
you should be really starting this shit off this week, and then we just
right. Give us the recipe.
Listen, let me know when y'all trying to. Just so y'all trying to start it in March.
Yeah,
I'm here for it, yeah.
Okay, let me do some research and see.
Yeah, come on. Because, you know, you the cooking ass nigga for real. Because
I saw, like, this vegan, it's supposed to be like a chickpea crumble type dish or something. It looked really good. It was like a baked chickpea with mushroom and some other type of stuff going on. I think collard greens or something, or kale. It looked really, really good. And I was just like, okay, it's a vegan friendly dish. And I'm like, this looks like something that I would eat though, like for real, vegan or not. So I'm going to look up to see what are some bomb ass vegan recipes and options to consider. Because I already don't eat meat in the morning. Like, I've just personally taken away meat from my morning breakfast and everything like that. Because it's just unnecessary, and I'm just looking at ways where I'm going to cut the meat out of my, like, oh, I can cut it at breakfast, because I really don't need it. It's just not a need for me at breakfast. And so, I'm going to research and see what's going on, because that sounds like that would be really good. Yes. Moving towards more of a plant-based meal and nutrition, I think would be really, really good. And then it can taste good. It doesn't have to be, a lot of people, they have very negative like comments or feelings towards plant-based meals and how they don't have all the essential nutrients and vitamins and all that. That's a myth and all that. Like, these plant-based meals have everything that we need. I think it's just more a matter of the taste for some people. As long as it's tasting like something, like, it shouldn't be hard to continue to eat, you know?
I really have to get that together, because, you know, Yara's eating more. She's eating food, you know. I really want to make sure I'm like giving her the best options and training her taste buds now so that when she's older, she's not entirely too picky, you know,
right,
about what she's eating.
Yeah.
What was you saying, Josh?
There's this like restaurant in Chicago that we just like stumbled upon. Like we was sitting in Subway waiting for our ride, and I looked across the street or whatever, and it was this like vegan restaurant or whatever. So we go in there and they had all the vegan everything. Like we walk up to the counter or whatever and they had vegan peach cobbler.
What?
Or whatever.
Wow.
So, of course, we had to try it or whatever. Why was this peach cobbler so fucking good? So fucking good.
And I like, bet it was just so natural and so just natural, so like, fresh. You know?
Yes. I was like, I need to know how y'all make this or whatever. She's like, well, you know, it's a secret recipe, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so now that I know that you can do this and it be vegan, I have to figure out how to do it. So, you know, I've been like really just trying to pressure Jermaine's mama to learn how to like make vegan shit. I'm like, if you can figure out a vegan peach, because peach cobbler is my favorite thing.
It's so
in
good.
The whole world. So if I can figure out how to make some vegan peach cobbler, look, it's going to be a whole new world. A whole new world. Whole new world.
I love it. I just knew, you know, once Black people get a hold of anything, like
anything,
we can turn it completely around. So, like, you know, I think that, I don't know. I just know there's so many other Black people going vegan as well. So I know there's some good, like, dishes we can really kind of go to, you know, and not have to be so dependent on this whole meat thing, because with the way this world is going anyway, hell, we might need to just rely on plant-based things.
And growing our own plants at that. So like really taking up farming and agriculture so that we know exactly what we're putting into the ground when we grow this type of food.
Right.
So, you know, just extra security.
Right. Look, I'm here for it. Like I said, once I figure out how to make it pop, it's on and pop it. Like, real talk.
Yes.
So, like, what other kind of stuff make y'all happy? You know, like, I am in this exploration phase. So, I mean, of course, I have my go-to, like, music is my main thing. Like, you know, music and food, like I said, is my main two go-tos or whatever. So, of course, 90s R&B, you know, when it comes to the music, is, like, my whole life, you know. And actually, like, people have started to, like, incorporate that 90s sound back into today's R&B. And it's a whole new wave. Like, it's a whole new wave. So, like, I like people like, what's her name? Amber Olivier. She's a British artist or whatever. Oh. And she has, like, her sound kind of sounds like Timbaland or Aaliyah, you know? And it just, like, incorporates this new age 90s sound or whatever. And it's, a whole new vibe.
I'm gonna have to give her a try.
I'm telling you, it's a whole new vibe. And so it's like, one day I like was playing her on Tidal or whatever. And, you know, Tidal has to where, like, if you play a song, then it'll create a whole radio station for it. And so I just went down this rabbit hole and started hearing all of this stuff. And so, like, now I'm on this whole new, it's like R&B is like moving into, like, okay, you know, it's like two different types of R&B. It's like the R&B that is always talking about sex and getting everybody raunchy and shit, you know, and then it's the other R&B that's talking about real shit, and it might even be talking about the same stuff as the other one, but it's a more like
sultry, a classy, tasteful way.
And very soulful, and it like makes you feel different vibes or whatever. And so, like, that's what I've been on. And like when I'm stressed out, when shit is popping off at work, all kind of stuff, like, I just put on my little playlist and just go, like, it, and it'll just change my whole mood, even when I'm working out, y'all.
And what's her name?
Amber Olivier. It's spelled like
Amber Olivier.
Yeah. O-L-I-
You said Amber Olivier?
Yeah. O-L-I-V-I-E-R, I believe it is. I think. Let me look it up. Let me just be sure, because I don't want a lot of y'all and say it's spelled one way and then it be spelled the total opposite. Yes, O-L-I-V-I-E-R. It hits, I'm telling you.
It hits.
It'll change your mood. It will.
Okay. I'm going to have to for sure give her that.
Yes. So, like, what kind of stuff do y'all listen to change y'all's energy?
I love listening to, like, an assortment of different music options, right? Like, I of course love hip-hop, I like R&B, I like slow jams. I also like listening to, like, you know, music that doesn't necessarily have lyrics, and so just listen to the beats and listening to the sounds and rhythms and waves and frequencies of what the song is communicating, like, helps me. Like, I like to listen to a lot of I do listen to different African drumming. Mm-hmm. I've recently enjoyed a lot of that, and I'm actually very much interested in learning how to drum as well. But I love listening to, like, different African theme music and yeah. just different songs. And it really just, I can't really explain it, but I've listened to a few different song videos on YouTube. And when I say they lift up my spirit and energize and activate something deep within me, you all, that I really cannot fully explain, but I just know it feels good. And it makes me, and I know it's right. And so, like, when I'm listening to it, and I get this energy that overcomes me, I'm like, this is exactly what I needed. And so a lot of it is, like, so powerful, I can't really explain it. I feel like for a lot of the African songs that I have listened to and that I do listen to, I feel like it's my ancestors communicating with me directly. And so, like, when I'm listening to it, it's more than just, oh, the sound of this is pleasant, or the sound of this is catchy, or the sound of this is, you know, getting me in a mood. And it's doing all those things. But I think more importantly, because it's doing all those very different things, like, it's a message that's needing to be communicated to me. And that's how I feel. Like, it resonates with me whenever I listen to it. I'm talking about, I can't explain it. Like, I feel something that comes over my body. Like, it feels like I'm being re-energized, quite literally. Like, I feel it. Like, it's healing. It's so healing. It's so familiar, even. And I really can't explain how it feels so familiar to me. Yes. But it's so beautiful, you all. Like, I can sing you all just some of the lists that I listen to. And I'm just like, goodness, this feels like if I was listening to, like, if I was listening to gospel music or something to get you in a mood and, high, you know, lift and raise your spirits. But it's African. And so it's beautiful to me personally, and I love listening to that. I really, really do. Like, I like listening to it any time of the day is fine, but I mostly listen to it either sometimes at night, but mostly, like, on the weekends and things like that. Like, when I'm not doing much, I will play some of it, have it as a background music as I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing. Man, it just really steers me in a direction that is really uplifting, really, really positive. And I can't explain it, but it's beautiful. And I love it. So,
is it like Sounds of Blackness? Like, you know how, like, Sounds of Blackness made, like, certain songs that sound like old, like, ritualistic music and stuff like that, and then they were, like,
very similar,
like, they would mix, like, the gospel sound into it too, but then kind of with the, like, new 90s sound. Well, back in the
90s, I want to say absolutely. It just I feel like it's more, and I'm gonna send some y'all way so y'all can determine it for yourselves, but I feel like it's more African inspired, if that makes sense. And it's more African inspired, but I still get that sense of gospel in some of them. And that's the part that I'm just like, wow, this feels like they taking me to church.
Right.
On the drum. And I'm like, this is really something. And I'm like, it's different. And I like it. I'm like, wow, I need to continue to listen to this. And I continue to do it. I've been listening to it for over a year now. And so it's been very moving and very soothing at the same time. And so I love listening to it. And I listen to it often. I listen to a mix of other things too. Like, don't get me wrong, I listen to my ratchet stuff, y'all. Like, I just do. Like, I be in my office at work bumping ratchet shit. Like, I just do it. Sometimes I'm like, I hear a knock at the door. I'm like, let me mute this. Let me turn this down because, you know, they're important when I enter my office. So right. I want people to know, to feel like I prioritize them. But yeah, I listen to an assortment of different music, and I love it all. Like, from the slow jam to the ratchet to the conscious bass to, like, just listening to the different rhythms and the different beats, different sounds, and the different melodies and the different frequencies, and just how it all provides this very, you know, ritualistic energy in terms of just what you hear and how you apply it going forward, because each one of these songs communicates something very different. And it just how your spirit, how your energy kind of responds to that. And so I know everybody's different, but those are things that I would suggest. Like, that's what makes me happy, honestly. Like, I love music. Like, it's a part of me. It's a part of who I am.
I've been on this weird, like, Brandy kick, like, this week. Ooh. And, like, listening to all, like, and randomly, like, a Tatiana Ali song, like, random, just random shit. But it's been, like, everything. It's been very, like, nostalgic. So it's been everything my spirit has needed this week. And so I just be just dancing. And one of my students actually was like, Ms. Jones, I saw you jamming in the car. And I said, Mama, look. Right. And she said, ooh, I know she ready to get out. I'm going to dance her way all the way to the house. I'm like, you so right. Yeah, but it's so weird, like, when I'm not, like, actually, like, I guess playing music from my phone, like, I just listen to the radio, like, which is crazy, but I'm always listening to, like, Ricky Smiley in the morning. I feel like that's, like, you know, he took Tom Joyner's spot because Tom Joyner retired. And so, like, I just been listening to him in the mornings, like, all the things, like, he talk about, and, like, just kind of, like, the different topics, you know, how they do on Ricky Smiley and stuff. And so that's, like, my go-to.
Yeah.
So if it's not my little random throwback 90s R&B, it's some random ass music that's on the radio. So crazy.
No, I feel you. Like, I haven't really I mean, I listen to the what is it, like, the soul radio station, but I don't listen to, like, the regular, like, mainstream radio or nothing like that. It's like, I mean, the station that I listen to, it does have, like, Ricky Smiley in the morning,
right
and then, like, they do Albie Short Night. I can't, it's 106.3 if you're in the Chicago area, but, like, it, that's the only one that I listen to. The other ones are, like, all, like, I guess, like, the nigga music, I guess.
You know, the kind of music. I know exactly what you're talking about. The shit my ratchet students sing every damn day.
Like, the little ratchet shit that really ain't saying nothing.
I'm like, can y'all even spell that shit?
It's literally just beats and shit. That music. And I can't really get with that. You know, I need some content. You know, I need something.
Right.
You need to be saying something, and I need some real vocals. And so that's, like, literally the only radio station that I can listen to if I listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Everything else is just my playlist.
Mm-hmm. You know who I have been, like, peeping out that I do like, who is a rapper, but has very, very, very good content? D-Smoke. He won Rhythm and Flow. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he actually, like, on Saturday, there was a fight. Deontay Wilder and something Fury. I don't remember his first name, Fury. And he actually was, like, the introduction for Deontay Wilder. Like, so he rapped this Black Excellence ass song. It was just blackity, black. And Deontay Wilder even had, like, a Black History Month, like, slideshow presentation, like, video. Of, like, just Black excellence, like, from the past, from the present. Like, it was just the bomb. I mean, he lost and shit, but the intro was fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all watch boxing, but
I do not do boxing. Like, I honestly, any sport, I tried. I really
did. No, I feel you. I feel you 100%.
I did. Like, and for a while, like, I feel like I was actually into some sports. Like, I was really into baseball for a while. I really got into basketball for a while. But then it started getting, like, too much for me. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's asking me my opinion on all of this stuff. And I'm like, look, I'll never get that deep. It's a game to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just can't get that deep. And so it anything that gets that competitive and get people so riled up, it just kind of turns me off.
Yeah, bro, how I even got into the fight was because I randomly, like, we have YouTube TV, and like, it's kind of like Netflix and Hulu, that if you don't click on something, whatever's next will populate and just play or whatever. And so I was watching Real Housewives, and what populated next was Wags. Have you ever seen Wags? I think it's Women, Wives and Girlfriends, something like that. Kind of like Love and Hip Hop and shit and Real Housewives and Basketball Wives. It's that type of shit. But it's like, they're wives and girlfriends of just athletes in general, like baseball players. Like, and so Deontay Wilder's girlfriend was on there or whatever. And so when I'm like watching the episode, I'm like, oh, this is the wife that's about to have the fight coming up or whatever. But I've only watched like Mayweather fights, but I was just really curious to see like how he do, you know. But he ended up being way smaller than the white dude. Like, but the white dude used to be a big nigga. Like, that nigga was almost 400 pounds and dropped down to like 270. And then Wilder is like 230 something, like barely 230 something. When I tell you that white boy whooped this nigga's ass, like, it just was a shame that it had to be during Black History Month. And it was a shame because he had such an amazing introduction. But I just think that it just wasn't a fair fight at all. And that was like the hard part to see, you know.
Yeah, I knew that it was like a big thing, and like everybody was like trying to get links to watch the fight and stuff. But I just,
you know, happy. I don't get the fight, the boxing culture anyway, just because I feel like a lot of these sports are derived in slavery. Like, and it's just weird. Like, you know, you see, I don't know, just watching that fight, y'all. Like, brother, the white boy hit him in the, like, busted his eardrum very early in the fight. And they were just talking about how when your eardrum is busted, it makes you off balance or makes you feel off balance. So the whole time, it was just so hard to watch, like, from damn near the second, third round on. And, you know, it can go 12 rounds. You know what I'm saying? So you're just watching like, damn, this nigga about to get knocked out.
Right.
Like, this is just awful. But people really pay so much money to see it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think he still, like, even though he lost that fight, I think he still got paid $25 million for that. So even though he lost, you know, he ended up getting paid some money.
That's all that matters.
$25 million.
That's all that matters.
Listen. Yeah.
Sports in general, like, my sister was into boxing. She used to watch the HBO boxing like all the time, and I never saw the appeal. The only appeal that I have, and this is like fucked up, but it's true, the only appeal I have to any sports is watching the niggas. That's it. That's really it. That's football, basketball, all of that. It's just me watching the niggas. That's it. I care about y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, seriously. All of the extra,
I don't really care. And then now, in my older age, like, I don't even care about that. You know what I'm saying? So
like, now that you're about to be a whole ass.
Right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, I don't have it for it. And I gave it my all. I really did. I tried to play it. I tried to do it. You know, I tried to be into it. It just is not my thing.
So. But, okay, well, in speaking of sports, how do you feel about Dwayne Wade and how he, I guess, has really have been like advocating and speaking about his daughter? Mm-hmm. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I'm here for, and I'm in full and total support, because I wish I had somebody like that in my corner, you know, to have my back like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, for it to be your father, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
it makes it even a deeper impact, because, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like when it comes to like the LGBTQ community, a lot of our mothers, you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but a lot of our mothers, you know, will be quicker to turn around or be okay with it than our fathers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And which in my case, that wasn't the case, because my father actually was more supportive faster than my mother was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that type of love, you know what I mean? That's real unconditional love. To be able to say, I love you no matter who or what you are. You know what I mean? I love you in your fullness. I love every ounce of who you are. And I want you to be happy being who you are. And I got your back no matter what. And I dare anybody else to fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is the epitome of what manhood is. To be able to support, love, and protect their family no matter what. You know what I mean? No matter what it is, no matter what people think, no matter what people have to say, you know, to be there and support and stand with it, especially publicly like he's doing. Like, I have the utmost respect for that man.
Right.
Utmost respect.
Because some people think that, you know, as a parent, he shouldn't allow his daughter to make these decisions so quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, be like, you know, I appreciate you being honest with me about who you are and how you feel, but the world is not going to be accepting, so we should just keep it on the down low, you know. Right. That's how some people think. But I mean, I think that it's great. I mean, I think it was courageous, and I'm sure they had that conversation, like, you know, this is what it could look like if we do announce this, that, you know, not everybody is going to be team us, you know what I'm saying? But that's life. So I just thought it was very courageous, because it's easy to say, yeah, I support you, but only behind closed doors. You still need to look. You know, that's not really support, you know?
Right, yeah.
They're still forcing them to hide who they are, you know?
Yeah.
That's so I just thought it was amazing, you know, for Dwayne Wade as a Black father to kind of just share his journey with his daughter, you know? And with the world, and how we can normalize this, and we don't have to make kids feel less than for who they are.
Right, right. It's everything. It really is.
Because if the family don't support, how do we expect the world to, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's real. I mean, but I think that is like what our community really has to start opening up to. Is the fact of unity and family and community. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about who is doing. You know what I mean? It's not about what people are doing. It's about, am I here to support and love you through who you are, through what's going on with you? You know what I mean? It's so much deeper than just the action, you know, or the idea of what is supposed to be, you know? You have to break that. You have to understand that there are different, each one of us is different. No one person is meant to be the same, you know, and it's as simple as that. And if you left it there, because at the end of the day, what I do don't have nothing to do with you. Like, what I do in the privacy of my own home don't have nothing to do with you. If I'm not putting nobody in danger, if I'm not causing destruction or chaos or anything like that, it really doesn't have anything to do with you. You know, what you should be focused on is loving, supporting, you know, making sure that everybody is protected, making sure that we can thrive and we can be successful and that we can build and expand and grow and become smarter, more wise individuals. That's what the focal point should be. Not, you know, oh, So you sleeping with boys now, you know, or so you feel like you want to be a girl now. Like, that's not, you can't tell somebody who to be. You know what I mean? You can't tell somebody who to be. So if you focus on being who you want to be, you know, and whatever that is, that don't have nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? As long, like I said, as long as you're not hurting anybody and you being your best self, I congratulate
you. That's all that matters.
I congratulate you and I support you and I'll have your back and defend you to the end. But I need that same respect. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else needs that same respect.
I totally agree. Totally agree. So what about like black shows and movies? Like, what are you watching? Like, what has caught your eye that has like majority black actors in it?
Ooh, right now, honestly speaking, right now, I'm not even watching anything that has majority black actors in it. What I did just watch, and it was like amazing, was what's it called? It's on Netflix. You talked about it. It's the documentary with all of the actors and
When They See Us, or when they view us, or when they call us,
they need us, or something. They gotta have us.
When they need us, gotta have us.
Yeah,
they gotta have us.
It's so good.
Is it? See, and yes. I haven't actually clicked on it. It's, I saw so a brief good. Like trailer.
I watched the whole thing in one night. It's so good because they go sometimes, all
like,
the way
I get
back.
Afraid to watch things with Tupac because sometimes I feel like it's real heavy, you know. But it was worth the watch for sure.
Absolutely, because I don't even really remember them touching too much on Tupac. They may have like touched on it and then just kept.
Oh, like briefly, and then yeah. Okay.
Because they go back to the beginning of like Ooh. Black people in TV, black people uh-huh. in film, and how we evolved over time and how now.
Right, because we didn't used to be in it. They used
right.
to face and.
It was all propaganda. It right. was all propaganda to make white people scared of who we are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then to see how it evolved and changed and how people took a stance in film, you know, and said, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to portray this. Instead, I'm going to move like this. You know, right. it goes into like when during Jim Crow times and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and how like the actors and actresses or whatever would maneuver on screen to make sure that they represented themselves the best in the best light, you know what I mean? And especially mm-hmm. like with like interracial relationships that were supposed to be on film and things like that. It explores all that. And I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It just goes through the whole thing, like even to where we are today. It's awesome.
I definitely need to give that a go. I've been watching, I finished watching the movie called Miss Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it has, I can't even think of her real name, Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. She plays the mom in it. And it has the boy who plays the teenager of Randall in This Is Us. He plays her son. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much it's about public schools in D.C. And it's very relatable to a lot of urban public schools across the United States and how they're funded and lack of funding and politicians moving shit around and making you think that, you know, schools are poorer than what they actually are. You know what I'm saying? And so it was a very good kind of call to action mm-hmm. movie. Made you want to act. For sure, like, or see what you can do in your own community, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, that was definitely good. And you know, I still watch my faithful few, mm-hmm. and Grownish. Yeah. Grownish has been actually really good. So far really? This season.
See, mm-hmm. I haven't caught up on Grownish. I still watch Real Housewives. So yeah, of course, that's like a staple. I didn't even mention it because, like, of course, you know.
Well, and Grownish is really hitting on from when we were in college. So it's just, for me, it's nice to see, and I hope college kids, especially Black college kids, are watching, mm-hmm. because they're hitting on a lot of conversations that people should have had with us in college, you know. Right. So it's really good. It definitely is, like, brings back so many memories when I watch. Yeah. I'm like, damn. Yeah. But I guess I haven't been watching too much either.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's like, about, I mean, it. Yeah, it's TV right now. It's like the last thing on my mind.
Thanks.
But like, when I can, you know, try to make it. I said that I wanted to get into some of those new BET shows, mm-hmm. like Boomerang and stuff like that, which I know Boomerang gets what, like,
it's good too.
But
Boomerang is really, really good.
Yeah. And I said that I wanted to get into it because, like, I mean, like I said, it's just like, I want to support as much as I can. Plus, yeah. I want stories that reflect me. You know what
no,
I mean?
Absolutely. And that, like, is a good one that reflects us, for sure.
So I said I'm just going to give it
they a did
shot.
The writers did a really good job. Yeah. Bringing the old school and making it relatable to our generation.
Mm. And what about you, bro? What kind of stuff you watching? You watching TV or not?
I have not had an opportunity to be. I'll be on YouTube, y'all. Like, I'll be on YouTube just looking up, listening to music, looking up different things. Just a whole bunch of random, yet I feel, educational stuff. So I haven't been able to keep up with TV shows. I just haven't been. But
no, it's cool.
That's okay.
Hey, shout out to you watching, like, educational stuff on YouTube, because I don't like all of the Black.
I mean, it ain't all educational.
Because I'm telling you,
I was gonna say YouTube. You be on YouTube to end up in Netflix or something, because some of the stuff they be having,
for real,
it truly, truly is. I'm like, how the hell? I was just watching, like, Smothered Pork Chop Recipe, and I'm sitting up here watching rat traps and people eating, you know, spoiled eggs. Like, that's a whole bunch of stuff,
right,
that goes on YouTube. Well, how do I end up here? Like, how did I get here?
Like,
so YouTube will have you addicted. Like, you will be watching and just, you be having that question. Like, wait a minute. Where did we get? How did we get here? Lord have mercy.
Right.
Cool. I told y'all I'll be watching Morgan Williams. He does the, like, commentating on the, like, dancing, the dancers, like, all the HBCU dance teams, mm-hmm. and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite thing. It's like my favorite thing. Like, just hearing him, it's like your best friend talking about, like, the dancers at the games. Like, you know, it's just like, I watched that, and then Chasing Atlanta and Chasing Dallas. All of that stuff, I watched that.
Yes.
Like, what else? All of the, like, Impressive Channel. Who else? The King of Reeds. All of that. It's like literally my everyday entertainment. As long as they have new videos coming out, I'm watching. And it's, yes. so bad because I spent hours just watching that, like, hours. So I hear you when it comes to the YouTube.
So, YouTube.
The YouTube.
The YouTube.
But y'all got anything else that y'all do that just, like, helps y'all celebrate y'all Blackness and just bring you joy and laughter and peace?
Ooh. That's about it. Yeah. My Black ass music.
I think I just am in a new place. Like, I'm exploring my Blackness, and I'm in a place to where I'm just, like, yes. wanting to create more, you know,
right.
bring something mm-hmm. new, bring some new energy and express myself, my Blackness in a whole new way. So what can I bring to music? What can I bring to, like, podcasting? What can I bring to whatever it is that I want to do, like writing Absolutely. And things like that. So I try to figure out ways that I can, like, go against the norm and incorporate mm-hmm. myself into that, because that's how blackness expands. You know, that's how yes. we create new things and lead new movements for the future generations or whatever. So like, I just been on that tip, you know, still, you know, reflecting over the oldies and goodies and whatnot. But like, I just go back and I see a lot of stuff and like that we created in the past, and some of that stuff is problematic now. So you have to kind of grow beyond that, like cherish it as for what it was at the time, you know, and what it did at the time. But it's like, now we're moving forward, we're seeing things, you know, in a different light, we're exploring the world in a different way and know what's wrong and what's right and what's funny and what's really not funny and stuff like that. And so I'm just in this space where it's like, how can I add to that, you know, and then right. be what that was for me for a new generation or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So y'all got any final thoughts on our beautiful, wonderful, amazing Black History Month wrap up?
Just continue loving our Black selves and its uniqueness. You know, we don't have to put each other in a box. The beautiful thing about being Black is that we, as a people, are diverse, and being Black looks differently among us, and just learning to celebrate that and support that and continue to just unify and uplift each other.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, I would say I agree with everything that Danny said. I just feel like as Black people, we need, and I know, you know, this might sound cliche, but it's really important for us to truly understand what it means to be proud of ourselves. Because I think oftentimes when we don't have an understanding of who we are, it's easy to, you know, be overly critical mm-hmm. and to really not understand where you come from as a Black person in this world. And so, especially for our youth, it's important that we continue to start them off as young as possible, to engage our history, their history, so that they understand who they are, their identities, right. where they come from, what, like, they just need to understand that the opportunities when it comes to being Black and what that means and how it is boundless. How right. being Black is not a, you know, like Danny said, like, we shouldn't put ourselves in a box when it comes to understanding Blackness, that we are vast, diverse, complex, that we are, you know, very nuanced, and we have a lot of complexity to our social identities as Black people mm-hmm. in America, that we are not whatever non-Black people think of us or what they would rather us be. And so we have to understand the type of power we possess as people within this world, and really understanding the power that we harness when we come together as a collective, but also uplifting the individuals that we are too. So really looking at each other as individuals and not trying to hold our fellow brothers and sisters to, you know, white standards when it comes to understanding who we are in this world, how we show up, how we speak, who gets to listen, who gets to be heard. All those things are important. And we need to understand that we have a responsibility as Black people to really educate, really engage, really mentor, really support, really show and prove, really pay it forward, really just understand that it's a collective responsibility, and that we shouldn't be, you know, shitting on each other. We should be like lifting each other up and supporting each other the best way that we can, learning what it means to forgive and move forward in solidarity, learning what it means to love each other unconditionally and not because of the success that a person has, and really understanding and breaking down that Black excellence doesn't just look one type of way, and that it's more than what, you know, not again, what non-Black people want us to think it is. It's what we choose to define it as, and what, and how we project it, and how we put it out there in the world, because it's what we want it to be, because we are the ones who are talking about it. It should be. So I know that was a rant.
That was everything. Yeah. You know what? Guess what? I'm going to bless the game, because you said all of that, and I actually have the perfect quote to wrap
Yes.
This quote is by Montel Williams, and it says this: "No one tells every white person in this country how to be. No one tells every Hispanic or Asian or Jewish person in this country how to be. There is no single definition of whiteness or single definition of blackness. Boom.
Yes.
Boom. Period.
Yes.
Period.
Boom. Yes.
Period. Take that in and understand it and apply it broadly. Yeah. There's no one definition of understanding of blackness. Your hair, just what you do with your black friends, friends and however y'all engage is acceptable, fine, but definitely understand that those same rules unknown black community around that you just don't know. You just don't do that. Like, right. Just don't be ignorant in that way and limited in your thinking. That's what we're really trying to do. Open your minds, have a broader perspective when it comes to black people, because we are rich and diverse and beyond your thinking. Beyond your realm of understanding.
Big facts.
Yes.
Big facts. So I think that is going to wrap up the show.
Yes. In that order.
In that order. In that order. Yes. So I just want to thank everybody for listening and for joining us on this amazing episode. If you guys are trying to reach out to us, definitely feel free to reach out on social media at Woke and Broke Podcast. You can hit us up at wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com in case you have any questions, if you have any topics, or just let us know how you celebrate your blackness. Because Black History is 365 and not just Black History Month. So we can talk about this all year, every day, all day, because we black, and black is everything, you know.
So black is beautiful.
And share with us your experiences, whether it's through DM or email. All right. And then in the meantime, we love you all so right. much. Thank you guys for checking us out, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
See y'all later.
What's up, everybody? Thank you guys so much for listening to Woke and Broke. We hope you've been resonating with all of our topics each week, and we want to remind you that you can join in on the conversation. Send your input on this week's topic and any random questions you may have for the Q&A segment to wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes and share our episodes with your friends. We know you love it, so just join in on the conversation and show us some love. Get into it. Talk to y'all next week.